So this morning, I want to briefly reflect on two things Christmas is or should be about in light of this passage from Matthew chapter 2. So I want to start with that Christmas is all about local. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod. Christmas is a reminder that the gospel is local. Jesus was born at a specific address in the town of Bethlehem. He didn't have to do it that way, right? His birth could have been broadcast for the world to see in the sky if God had deemed that the appropriate way. But the local birth of Jesus is a reminder that God comes to us in local form and expression. And so does God's kingdom. In a recent article entitled The Few in Front of Us by Steve Cuss, he speaks of Jesus' ministry as hyper-local, really from birth to death. And there's a lesson for us in that, which is that the greatest kingdom impact most of us will have will be local, where God has placed us in time and space. Sometimes we focus on things, you know, that we can't really impact or control rather than the things that we can, which mostly comes from simply showing love to the local people God has put in our path to serve. In that article, Cuss says that, you know, focusing on trending kind of outrage-causing issues or ranting on social media won't feed hungry children in our community. Or he won't clothe the poor in front of us or help provide them with a warm place to sleep. And so instead, he says, we should focus or attend to the few in front of us. And so many of you do and have done this. You have shown the local expression of God's kingdom and honored in doing that the local incarnational Jesus in our community by paying attention to the few in front of you. And let me just share 10 examples I'm aware of even more, some we've mentioned before, so many that I'm not aware of course. But for example, one of our younger adults with young kids has been driving one of our older saints to and from cancer treatments, as well as some other people in the church. People have been picking people up for church who don't have a car and don't have a ride, as well as helping them with other errands. When one of our church families was displaced from the recent windstorm, another person in the church who had an extra cottage let them stay in that so they didn't have to stay in a hotel. Recently, people in the church helped a family move into the area, a family they hadn't even met before. Another couple took that family a bunch of groceries that they needed after a crazy move. When some people heard that we needed large carafes to serve hot chocolate and bless people at our carols night, a few ladies in the church got together and said, hey, let's just buy them for the church and donate them so that we can have them to serve our community for future events. Another person put together Christmas gifts for all of our good food bags and clients to bless them. A life group has started making sandwiches for those who need them once or twice a month. You brought in hundreds of care gifts, such as socks and hygiene items and small treats to bless clients at Island Crisis Care Society, including Orca Place here in Parksville, who are often lonely or isolated during this time, bringing them joy and connection and letting them know that local people care about them. And additionally, you're helping provide 10 full Christmas turkey dinners with all the sides and fixing, 130 items in all for 10 families in need, 5 through our Arrington breakfast program and the relationships there, and then 5 of just people we know within or connected to the church. So thank you for paying attention to the few in front of you, like God does, like Jesus, and making the witness of the gospel local and vibrant because you embody the Christmas story when you do so. And so I just wanted to take time to celebrate that in the context of the Christmas story, which is hyper-local in nature. The other part of this passage teaches us that I want to focus on is that Christmas is all about worship. Now, I realize that might sound a little too obvious, but the point can hardly be overstated, right? In Matthew 2, the main event of the very first Christmas was worship. That was the Christmas call in verse 2. We have come to worship him. And then when they got there, they bowed down and worshiped him. I know for some of you, this is really your first Christmas learning what it's actually all about and making this a season of worship for your family. And that's been so exciting to see and talk to many of you about. And here's what I want to convince us of this morning is that to truly celebrate Christmas is to worship. Now, are there other ways to celebrate? Of course. As we talked about last week, the world offers a whole alternative holiday, which is why my, you know, Buddhist or atheist friends still put up trees and decorate and say Merry Christmas and exchange gifts, and that's great and fine and even good. Like I said last week, it's unavoidable that we'll participate in the cultural holiday, and it's fun, and fun is okay. We're going to go to parties, we're going to sing fun Christmas songs, we're going to watch goofy Christmas movies, we're going to buy gifts, we're going to wear cozy Christmas sweaters that light up with lights or whatever, and it's great. It's warm and cozy. As long as we realize that we're participating more in the cultural holiday of Christmas and that there's nothing uniquely Christian about those things. Right? And for the Christian, they shouldn't act as a replacement for true Christmas, because the only way to truly celebrate Christmas in a Christian manner is to worship. How or why can I say that? Well, just every possible meaning of the word Christmas holiday implies worship. So if you just look at the origin behind the words, right? Christ, Mass, Holy Day is the Christmas holiday. A Christ Mass is a celebration. The word Mass just means celebration. Is a celebration of Christ. We don't call it a Mass in our tradition. We call it a worship service, but it's the same kind of thing. So I grew up going to midnight Mass. Anybody grow up going to midnight Mass? A couple people, right? At midnight on Christmas Eve. So every possible meaning of the word is that it's a time of worship. So when we say, I'm so excited for the Christmas holiday, what we're hopefully and quite literally saying is, I am so excited to celebrate Jesus on that holy day. That's literally what we are saying. Now, I know that retailers get really excited to celebrate Jesus, and that's why they start Christmas so early, because they just can't wait. They want to get to that holy day so badly. I realize that. But it shouldn't be retailers that tell us when the Christmas holiday begins. It really should be the church and its rhythm of worship that we embrace, including Advent and Christmas. The reason we place so much emphasis on these things is so that we can worship. See, the commercial holiday, it has its own little Advent. It's got its preparation and its buzz and excitement leading up to it. It's the presents, it's the gifts, it's making sure you get everything on your list. And they're preparing for something, but we are to be preparing for Jesus. That is what we are to do. And so what or who we are listening to or taking our cues from reveals what or who we are celebrating or worshiping, right? Is it Christ or consumerism? Is it retail spending or the revealed Savior? Is it a time of compassion or a time of consumption? Now again, will we participate in these other parts of Christmas? Of course we will. And I'm not saying we won't do those things. But hopefully it is counterbalanced or even overshadowed by our intentional worship. So my encouragement is to prioritize these worship events so that we don't completely lose our focus on what this season is about, namely reflection on and devotion to Jesus. The reason we offer three Christmas Eve services, including morning this year in addition to the two evening services, I mean, that's a full day. It's a lot of work for our volunteers. But it's because we want to make sure everyone has the opportunity to have a Christ Mass, a celebration of Christ on this holy day. Because we can't just say it's all about worshiping Jesus. We have to show it with our action. And so we're making sure you can find time to worship and invite others into worship. Now, my personal preference is to go as late in the evening as possible. Maybe that's my old midnight mass days, you know, so that the last thing we do before bed is you know, just to worship. It's kind of the lingering effect of worship is just there as things quiet down on Christmas Eve and come into Christmas morning and just the candlelight dark of the service and the feeling of awe and wonder over Jesus, and you're kind of driving home and all is quiet and no cars are on the road anticipating the Advent of Christ, his coming in the morning. But not everybody is like me, apparently. So we have a morning option, too, because people seem to really like to do that. But I do sympathize, you know, with the tension and the cultural pressure and family pressure of making this about worship or not. After I got saved in high school, every year for 10 years, or so, when I was home for Christmas, when I would still kind of go home, you know, for the holidays, I would try to get my family to gather together for Christmas Eve and go worship. And every year, except one, I failed. I was unsuccessful. And the excuses would be many, right? It's, well, this is really a time for family. That's the idolatry of family over the gospel. Or, you know, I just want to relax. I want to feel cozy. I want to be in my pajamas. It's kind of the idolatry of comfort. Or, you know, let's just kind of listen to a worship song or watch something online, and that's the idolatry of convenience, right? It's similar to the chief priests and the teachers in Matthew 2 who knew all the right answers, who knew what this was all about. Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, but they didn't actually go and worship. And so I went to about five or six Christmas Eve services entirely by myself as a young Christian. And I didn't go because I thought, you know, Jesus would love me more if I went, or I wanted to feel holy or something like that, right? That would be pointless. That's not how it works. I wasn't trying to earn God's favor. But, you know, because like the Magi, I wanted to worship Christ on that night. And I wanted to do it with my forever family, the family of God, which in the end actually supersedes our blood family, the family of God. Just by the way, just like a side note, during those years, and things are better now, but my family was kind of a mess. My parents, you know, had been divorced, and there was a lot of tension and arguments about who was going to be where. A lot of you sympathize with this, I'm sure. You know, who got the morning? Who got the dinner? Sub-siblings just didn't want to be a part of it at all because it was just, you know, too stressful. And, you know, what's going to happen? And so a lot of Christmases just sort of fell apart, and honestly, were pretty depressing. But, you know, several other families invited me to worship with them and had me over for dinner after the service, you know, knowing that that time of year was difficult for me at the time, and I was just a new Christian. So, you know, just a thought is, who can you do that for? Right? To circle back to our first point, how can you attend to the few who are in front of you? There might be people looking for worship and connection on that night. Who are they? So look, the goal isn't to just get a bunch of people to come to a service. There's nothing to that. It's to engage as many hearts as possible in the meaning and purpose of Christmas, which is to worship Christ as we celebrate his first coming in the flesh as a child and as we anticipate his second coming as King of the world, right? It's a gift that we can offer our community. So church, are we busy preparing, as we are busy preparing for Christmas with, you know, parties and presents and decorations and food and visitors, my question or challenge is this: will we prepare with equal or greater fervor for the coming of the Lord to us?